interesting component has moved the way the markets have because of geopolitics. Hello once again, I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. As we do this market wrap-up today, we're being joined by Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics, and no surprise, Putin and Russia had a little bit of influence in why we saw the wheat kind of being the overall grain leader today, Mike.
Yeah, and it really came in kind of a stair-step fashion when it came to the grains, while the cattle were able to open sharply higher and in some cases gap higher on the opening Tuesday. Susan, it was more of a take the news as it comes day when it came to the grain complex. And we started out the day with the soybeans leading the gains, wheat and corn on the back foot. And so that usually says to me, buy beans, buy oil seeds, sell the feed grains. But as you say, we saw the U.S. negotiators meet with the president of Russia. Shortly after they got done meeting with the president of Russia, he started talking about, if Europe wants to go to war, I'll take them on. And so it really opens the door up now that the peace chance has dropped significantly between Russia and Ukraine. And that matters so much more because I think the trade had tried to price in a good likelihood of peace between Ukraine and Russia. In that, they had taken the premiums of the wheat and the premiums of the crude, two of the key oversupply markets, lower in this past couple weeks. Well, that changed, led by the European market. And this is a really key point about our markets right now, Susan, when it comes to wheat. Other than U.S. winter weather, for the hard red wheat belt especially, the European market is probably going to be one of the main drivers to what we do here in Chicago. And I say that because the Australian and Argentine crop has left the market with the idea that we are going to have oversupply. And that oversupply is going to infect and impact European prices more than it will the United States. And so we are watching, I think, the European prices more closely and following as a result of that. And that also bakes into the cake kind of the currency play between the euro and the U.S. dollar and our competitiveness. But when we saw that news about Russia mid-session, we saw a really big change in the dynamic of the spreads. Corn was let, in my opinion, let out the door to go ahead and move to the highest level since November 14th. Wheat allowed that corn to be let out the door. And in the end of the day, January soybeans were hitting new weekly lows as we got into the final part, the final half of the trading session. So you saw a complete reversal of that spread. And I think South American weather plays a little bit of a role in this as well.
Well, you know, and I want to rewind real quick to what's happening over between Russia and Ukraine, because this war has been going on for so long. It's kind of easy to forget what we saw initially with these commodity prices when the war first broke out with the Russia invading of Ukraine. And that was just like we're seeing a soar within the prices.
Yeah. And we haven't really even started yet, if you think about it, because last week we had hit within 30 cents of the 4-year low made earlier this year in the soft red wheat, and same with the crude oil. We're within about $2 a barrel of the springtime lows made that got us to a new 4-year low as well in WTI crude. And so I'd reiterate the idea there's very little premium, risk premium, geopolitical premium, whatever you want to call it. Instead, what we've kind of pushed into the market price going into 2026 is this oversupply mindset. And as you say, a sharp rally led by geopolitics is what we saw in 2021. That was accompanied by a stronger dollar. That's the big question mark out there. Is the dollar going to strengthen if we get worsening conditions geopolitically because it's traditionally been the safe haven, or will it falter and continue to be sold because of the tariffs and how the markets reacted to the tariffs in 2025 and the currency?
Do you see the other grain factor to be the weather? I mean, we've got the bitter cold temperatures in Kansas, which means we've probably gone into some good dormancy for the winter wheat. But then we see the mix of weather across South America.
Yeah, and I think this is where I don't think we have to overcomplicate this market right now. I think there is a risk premium built into the soybeans. And you can decide whether it's South American weather or the U.S.-China trade deal or a combination of the two. From my vantage point, the people I talk to and communicate with in the futures market and colleagues in the trade, I would suggest there's probably more U.S.-China trade premium than there is weather premium in this market. And I think that weather premium, whether it's going to be determined whether we have the need to keep it in or keep the U.S.-China trade premium in, is probably going to be determined in the next 7 to 10 trading days, because it's kind of a make or break time for southern Brazil and Argentina's Pampas regions in the areas that have not gotten rain. And we've seen some reductions in production for Brazil, especially by some private forecasters this week, but they're not big reductions. The bigger reductions could come probably by the end of December, aligning up with that January crop report, which is going to be one of the most important, I think, of the last 5 or 10 years, if you ask me.
So look at the announcement that came as well from the president. Before we jump into livestock, wanted to get your takeaway of this Fed announcement of a replacement for Powell. Obviously, they've got some big meetings coming up next week. How do you see this all setting the tone and it's kind of filter back to what we see in agriculture?
Yeah, it's all about interest rates when it really comes down to it. And those interest rates impact the currencies. And if the Fed cuts rates, that tends to weaken the dollar. If the Fed raises rates, that tends to strengthen the dollar. And clearly the president wants a weaker rate, a lower rate, because he sees the vulnerability, I think, in the overall economy. We've got a really big problem in manufacturing right now. We haven't gotten those new jobs yet from this shift to onshore manufacturing and factory jobs. And so manufacturing this week especially showed up really, really poorly on some of the PMI numbers that I keep track of. And it's not just us, it's China, it's Japan. And the last thing the world needs right now, especially given the debt load we're carrying right now, going over $38 trillion about 2 weeks ago for the United States, Susan, is higher interest rates. I can't remember the statistic, but I want to say that back around 2014, the U.S. government was about 57% in debt. Now we're 95% in debt in terms of what our debt is versus our GDP. We can't keep doing this, and especially if those interest rates go up, I think the financial markets will not allow us to keep doing it. And I think we're really up against the wall at this point. I think that's why the president is doing what he's doing right now. He sees kind of the writing on the wall that if these rates go up any higher than they've already gone, not just individuals and the consumer is going to get probably laid out. It's going to be governments that get laid out as well. And having to go back and reinvest or go after the debt market again to get that debt reinsured, essentially, is going to be a lot more expensive than it was 5-6 years ago.
So let's switch the page and look at the confidence that's building up once again in this livestock market. And we saw some really good pushes there earlier this morning.
You know, Monday was a head scratcher for me coming back from the holiday, seeing the winter weather and the bitter cold and the terrible snowstorms. And also seeing that the MasterCard retail sales data showed, I think, a 4.1% increase in overall sales over the holiday. And restaurant sales even beat that up 4.5%. A lot of good data coming back from the holiday, a lot of good weather ahead of calving season in terms of why we would put risk premium into the market. And so to me, Tuesday was more about recalibrating, and those bears that tried to sell on improving temperatures probably got waylaid with some updated forecast for December that pushed a colder pattern heading into mid later month. And I've got some cow calf guys that are getting ready to drop some calves here as soon as the end of December. And so it's getting very close. And I think the market's right to realize that we've got some issues. The key now is to see if the futures premium pulls the cash back up, because it was the futures discount that pushed the cash down. I think it should, given the fact that we still have very strong demand. And I really do feel like we shouldn't go below 225 in the fat cash cattle market at this point in this cycle. And keep in mind, now that we go forward into 2026, those placements numbers should drop pretty quickly, especially after we get past the December report.
And get some excitement, too, because we are into the throes of holiday months and we'll be seeing more procurements happening at the meat counters.
Absolutely right. And, you know, you really hit it on the nail there with the meat counter, Susan, when it comes to the meat counter and the restaurants. I really do think as 2025 has come and now is getting ready to go, the analysis has continued to point to Wall Street and 401ks being a huge part of the consumption side, the real consumption side of the protein diet not backing down. People can afford that high protein diet right now. But if they lose a lot of money on Wall Street or lose 25% or whatever on Wall Street in 2026, I think that really calls into question that consumption side.
Mike Susilo joining us today for the Tuesday market wrap-up. Quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that is the market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.